Welcome back to the Atlanta Podcast, and boy, do I have a treat for you today. As the title said, you know the legend. Now it's time to learn about a couple of the folks behind the myth of Magic City. So I spoke with Juju, son of the owner, Magic, and then I spoke to the woman behind the Magic City kitchen, and yes, those wings you've heard so much about. We spend a few minutes with her. She chooses to remain anonymous most of the time, so we will refer to her as LJ for this interview, but it's one of those situations where, if you know, you know. My eyes were opened. I went there during the day. I'd never actually been inside, and I think this is a fascinating look inside some of the folks behind Magic City. Let's take a listen. Away we go.
The first thing that I noticed that she pointed out is, like, this is the whole club.
Yeah.
Like, when you hear about Magic City and you hear about I've been to some strip clubs. Like, this is not big. Do you know how many square feet it is even?
I don't. I know our capacity is like 334 people.
Right.
So, I mean, we can only fit a certain amount, but
I'm guessing you go over that sometimes.
A lot of times we do.
I mean, the police aren't gonna listen to this and then shit.
I mean, it's way more than 334 people that want to be in Magic City at one time. So sometimes, you know, you'll cross the line a little bit, but I always stay in check.
No, I get it. So what town did you grow up in?
I grew up in Atlanta. I'm born and raised in Atlanta.
Right. So where'd you go to school?
Preferably Decatur, Georgia.
Okay, where'd you go to high school?
Southwest DeKalb.
Okay. Did you play ball?
I played basketball.
Okay.
I can still play a little bit today, but, you know, I'm not what I used to be, but it's still left in the tank.
Did you ever have, like, I don't know, big hopes and dreams?
I had all the hoop dreams. I thought I was going to be Kobe, and that, you know.
Kobe, not Jordan?
Oh, yeah, definitely Kobe over Jordan for me. I'm a Kobe king, so I'm Black Mamba to the end.
And so did you assume you would end up just always working here, or was it?
I never assumed. I started at 21. I've been here about 10 years now. I'm 31 now. So, I never assumed it. Just, I tried the college thing, went there, tried that for a little bit. That wasn't for me.
Me too.
I made
it a year and was like,
I made it like 2 months, and then I failed two tests and I was like, you know what? I didn't sign up for this. So I got out of there, and then, I started working. I used to do bail bonding. I used to work at a bail bonding company with my mother, actually. And then that really wasn't for me neither. Sitting at the desk wasn't for me neither. So I got out.
Was it one of these spots up the road?
It wasn't. It was in Decatur where I was born at. And then after that, I was like, you know what, Dad? This is it's in my blood. It feels like I belong here. So at 21, I started doing liquor count and like started at the bottom and I worked my way up. So,
right. Well, I think that's good that your dad put you to work, right?
He made me work. He made me fucking count bottles of alcohol and fucking take out trash and clean up. That's how I started, and then I worked my way up until I'm in his seat now.
Right. So what, how did this TV stuff come about for you?
So I have, my best friend is Parker. He's on the show with me. Pretty much he came to me with it. So the show's based around his love triangle. I'm just like, I am just the party. I'm the fun and the hip-hop party version of the show. So he's in the love triangle. I just try to get him out of the love triangle.
That's the whole.
I'm just a bad influence. I'm just bad juju the whole time.
Bad
on the
juju.
Show.
I love
just
it.
Bad juju.
So did they? But I mean, everybody, you know, who watches these shows knows there's some, like, the producer's hand is always in it somewhat. So everybody wants to know, like, what I mean. You know, the one clip that I saw recently is like when they were first talking to you, and they were like, you look at very platonic relationships. And it was like she said, do you want to date an alien? Do you want to date someone from Mars? You were like, no, well, I'm not for that.
Yeah, I had, they caught me off guard. I had never really, now that I sit back and hear it after what I heard, platonic, I had never really heard that. It's not in my industry. I've never even, it's not in my industry. So I was like,
it's
don't
not
use
a word,
word
you hear in these walls.
Exactly. I want to say, so I never heard that word. So I was like, what does platonic mean? Plural, as in, I thought it meant plural, like multiple platonics. Like,
right.
Until I found out. And then I created my own word, platonics with an S. And
right.
Now it's a thing. I was like, wait, no platonics over here. But I don't use that word. So it was a learning process for me, too. And
So how many, but like I said, so how much of that is the like, hey, just be you versus, okay, we're going to try to set up these scenarios. You know what I'm saying?
That was a no scenario situation there. I haven't been putting any scenarios on the show yet. I really free range. I freelance all this shit off the top of my head. Now they do create some situations where like they'll have a plot, but they never gave me anything to say. Everything I said was truly organic.
How tough was it, or was it talking to your dad about, you know, like, hey, we're going to have a bunch of eyes on us and the show is happening and MTV and all the rest of it?
How tough was it to talk to him about doing it, or how tough was it?
Like, was he always down for it?
No, he was not down for it. He's never down for cameras, but he's down for me. So when I told him that I need him, then he's always there if I need him. But he's definitely not a camera guy, or that was his first time doing anything like that.
I mean, even for the club in general.
For the club in general, he's just not he's not the on camera kind of guy. He's a behind the scenes boss. You know, he's like a you know how he don't need a camera. Camera's not for everybody, and it's not for him. You know, he's a legend. He's supposed to be a myth.
So he doesn't want people to see him. Yeah, I think that one of the...
He did on the show for me, but I'm just saying he doesn't... It's not easy to get him to do things like that. Only I can get him to do shit like that.
Right, because I assume he gets reached out to a lot.
Everybody wants to do a documentary. They want to do movies. They want to do everything on him, but that's just not what he's looking for right now. He supported me because I needed him. MTV asked for him. So obviously they probably didn't even want me. They wanted him, but they took me, I guess. Little him.
Well, I mean, well, clearly you're the age. You're
exactly.
The, right.
I'm at the age and everything. But you know, they reached out to him a lot, too, just to see. Because, you know, he has a story that's untold that nobody really knows. It's only one Magic. I mean, it's only one Magic. Like, he started this shit in 85. So it's only one of him. So
right.
That's really what they're trying to get to.
And what have you heard about? Because I can't imagine what this would be like in 85.
Exactly. It was.
I mean, I can tell you why
it people, didn't look like this. In
I can tell you why people didn't come downtown in '85.
They did not.
They didn't come down in '95.
They didn't come down until 2015. Because I was one of the best. I was like the influence that crossed over. Because I love white people. I love white women. That's my preference. So I made it. I'm not saying I made it, but I was part of curating the whole change in culture and vibe, and like people feel more comfortable coming here from all different parts of the world now, because it used to be, you know, sketchy, and now it's not sketchy. Now it's like a mainstream. It's a mainstream platform now.
She and I were talking about how it wasn't always like cool, right? Like now strip clubs are very...
Now they're cool. It used to be so frowned upon because people used to be like, strip clubs, oh, I'm going to go in there and do some freaky shit. But it's not like that. You actually come and girls come by themselves. Groups of women come and just actually like have a good time. They come and get a bottle and drink and just, you know, it's a good time more than like a sexual thing. It used to be a guy's going to get his dick jacked or some shit. Now it's like...
Well, I can tell you, when I was a young man, we always hoped that would happen, but it never happened.
It never happens, but people think that.
So right. Well, and I certainly didn't have enough money to make it happen.
Well, now we do. But so it's just, you know, people always just paint a dark picture on things they don't really see. So we just shine a light on show that it's more than just that. It's actually, these girls are talented. These girls actually, like, practice and, like, come in and swing, like, the circus is actually like a whole event, so it's not like a.
Are there any white girls that work here?
There are two. Two out of 100. It's two out of 100, but that's process. We're making progress.
What is your actual title?
My title,
or do you have one?
I don't have one. I'm Juju. I oversee. I'm an overseer. I am the Prince of Magic City. That's my title. I'm the Prince of Magic City. So everybody has a place and a role. I'm just an overseer. I just oversee.
What is the, let's break it down. When you say like groups come here and they get a bottle, so like what does the door cost?
The door ranges from $60 to $200.
Depending on
the night. On Monday nights, like I've seen a door at a high about $300 a person.
So when you're so busy, you just
got to raise the price, because like I said, we can only hold 334 people. So at some point, I had to try to find a way to drive people away without saying, were packed. So I would just raise the prices to an amount where people shouldn't pay it, but they keep paying it.
Like you can't even believe it.
I can't even believe it.
Because they're here. They're excited.
$300 a person.
They're thinking about the women. They're thinking about the wings.
They're thinking about the whole experience. It's the whole experience.
So if I want to come like on a Tuesday night, I can probably get in for 60. Is that what you're saying?
Tuesday night, you can probably get in for a 20, 30, maybe. People are so tired after Monday. Tuesday night's the best night to get a deal.
Okay. And what time do you open?
We open from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. Monday through Saturday.
So how many girls on shift at 3 p.m.?
Maybe 10.
Right.
Which is, you know, it's okay. I mean, because the day shift is a hit or miss. You never know. It's because we don't do any promotions for day shift. So it's like you just open and just have the kitchen open and have people in the building. So it's, you know, it's not really like we're trying to pack out day shift. We're just going with the
flow. Is that where you start people, I'm guessing? Like you can work Wednesday afternoon and see how it goes?
Yes, absolutely. Everybody who gets hired, they have to work the day shifts first.
Right.
And then they move to night shift.
I would imagine managing that many women, I can imagine that there could be some trouble.
That's why I oversee. So I have my other female managers and house moms, and they do a lot of...
They deal all that.
They deal with more of the women one-on-one than me, because it's me talking to 100 females at one time is not a good idea, so... That's why I have them in place, and I just oversee them.
Yeah, I could imagine that would be.
Yeah. That's not really a good cup of tea for me.
I mean, this place has become, you know, so legendary. I assume now, like, how often do you even notice if it's mentioned, like, a song or a movie or somebody shouts y'all out? You know what I mean?
I notice because it's a different type of feeling when I hear it. Especially for people, because I hear a lot of times that people who never even been here.
Right.
So it's like it's a lot of rappers who say it in songs. They actually don't even never been here. So it's just like it's that much of an influence in their songs that they write it in their raps. But I've never like Future's in them is different. They actually live here.
Right.
But it's a lot of artists out there who say Magic City Monday. I'm throwing making it rain, but they don't be here. It's just, it sounds good. And it feels good to say it.
Right. Well, haven't there been artists that you've played that have gone on? Like, just, like, people got, like, essentially, like, their song got heard here first?
Yes. Like, I mean, I'm going to use Future as an example again. Like, we wrote his first song, Tony Montana, sitting at that bar over there. Me and him, and we sat right there in that corner, and he repeated Tony Montana over and over again. And we're just like, that song is trash. But he kept running with it, and we played it here every day. DJ Esco and Future, they just rush it on you. Just keep playing it. And they got stuck in our head. Next thing you know, the whole world was saying, Tony Montana, Tony Montana. And you're like, wait, what? That worked? So, yeah, everybody, I mean.
Do you have a writing credit on that song?
I should have, but I mean, Future's my brother, so I let him, you know, we don't talk about all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Most artists that come to Atlanta, they record, they'll go to the studio, drop a night, and make a hot track, and they'll bring it here and play it first. And if the dancers like your song, the world's going to like it. So if it comes here and the dancers like it, they're the culture. They create. They have the ear to the streets more than anything. They're in the streets more than anybody.
Right.
So they know what sounds good and what, you know, makes a vibe.
Right. Well, I gotta say we're in a great time. So I'm wearing this Atlanta Influences Everything shirt.
Absolutely.
And when I was a young man, like white people did not come downtown, right? And the music hadn't happened yet. Like it happened like. Mid-late 90s, that exactly. That kind of put us on the map.
Outcast.
But then even in the last 10, I feel like just...
Atlanta's been just straight pushing it the whole time.
Like, when I was growing up, it was like, oh, we kind of wish we were New York or Chicago or L.A., and now we don't have that...
We don't have that issue at
what's
all.
What's the word? Identity crisis.
We don't have that.
Like, people want to be us.
We are the culture. We're the new wave. We are the wave. I mean, everything that's style, hip-hop, fucking... The whole flow, even the rap flow, it comes from Atlanta now.
Right.
And it comes from, in Magic City is Atlanta. So
I think it's as Atlanta as you can probably get,
as Atlanta
right?
As you can get. I don't know how much deeper you can go to Atlanta.
So that clip that she saw from Johnny Manziel, I was telling her.
Shout out Johnny. Love Johnny. He's my boy. He comes here with me. He's been here with me. He chills with me.
Did you see that?
We were in that other box down there on the other side.
Did you see that clip that I did?
The wings for sure.
So I had just, it's funny because I sat down with him. First of all, great dude, doesn't know me. And anybody who's at that level that sits down with me, you're an awesome dude. And he was like, I don't want to be a trailblazer anymore. I don't really want to be that guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's basically said, I'm trying to, and then I just like said, what's your favorite place to eat in Atlanta? And he just dropped it. Like, it was nothing. You know what I mean?
Easy.
It was like he said McDonald's. It was like, oh, Wings, exactly. Wings of Magic City. That's why I cracked up so bad.
It was a perfect. I mean, yeah, Johnny's shared wings with me here a lot of times. I mean, the food here is ridiculous. It's Loma has made the kitchen into an unbelievable success that I couldn't even speak on. Like, it's, people talk about Magic City wings in Europe. Like, it's ridiculous.
Have people come to your dad and been like, oh, well, let's open a second one?
Yeah, they always do that. But that's not what it's about. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, Magic City's a staple. It's a one, it's a landmark in Atlanta.
It's a one of one.
It's a one of one. And you don't want to fuck that up with trying to, you know, brand it and make it something that it's not. And if it's only a one of one because we're here. We live here. I live downstairs. My dad is here every day. We actually bleed in here. So it's
literally live downstairs.
I mean, I have a room down here. I don't live there. I got a condo too. But, you know, if I needed to, I could live downstairs. So it's like, We actually are in here, so it's different than, you know, opening it up and letting somebody else try to duplicate it. Duplicate this.
Right. What is happening with the show exactly? Because like I said, I hadn't really heard. I don't really, you know, I haven't watched MTV in a long time. But like, is it in the middle of the season or where are we even?
We're on episode 5 of the show. It's the middle of the season. It's. What do you ask me about this show? You said, what's going on with this show?
I mean, it's a
learning experience for me. This is my first time doing anything like that. It wasn't ideal for me neither because I've always been here. So I did it to show that it's more about me than just Magic City. So it's like I have my father on the show. I have my mother on the show. So it just shows my life outside of the club a little bit.
Right.
And that's why people always look at me, only think Magic City. So I just tried to, I'm just trying to start my own brand and like branch off from there.
And what do you want to do?
I want to be, that's a good question. I'm still in the learning process. I know I want to be a club owner.
Right.
But that's naturally in me.
Right.
So now I'm learning new things about me that I didn't know as far as like, I actually like being on camera and acting now. I think I want to be an actor almost, damn near.
So, right.
You know, I'm just, well, if I'm open to try anything. Right.
Well, like
now.
I said, you're saying they don't even give you scenarios because they know you're just going to be you. And I think that really is all the best actors do, right? They just tap into the best parts of themselves.
Yeah. Everybody else has like a script or a detail. They're like, Juju, just walk in there and be yourself now. So I just walk in there and I just go off the top. I literally just freelance and it works.
And so I guess what I was asking with the show is like, if they said to y'all, hey, we love in the first few episodes, we think there's going to be a season 2 or like all that stuff.
Yes, we're on episode 5. We just filmed a reunion last week. I absolutely believe that there is going to be season 2. Most shows that start on reality shows always come out a little slow because, you know, first of all, we're coming after Jersey Shore. So we're on the back end of Jersey Shore, and then we call Buckhead Shore. So it's like, it's gonna take it takes time for fans to open up to a new reality show, but it's picking up very rapidly now. But you know, season 2 is coming soon for sure.
And have your DMs just like blown up a ton?
Yeah. They blow up a ton. That's why Loma's my manager, so she checks all my DMs for me, so I don't get in trouble.
Right. Well, she said, you know, I was, you know, when she messaged about that Johnny clip. And I was like, oh, she's like, I want to keep it low key, which I understand. She doesn't want to. I still want to get her for like 5 minutes, but
oh, yeah.
She's like, well, you can talk to Juju. I was like, all right, let's make that happen.
Yeah, she's a goat. She's a goat. She taught me everything I know.
Really?
Yeah.
So how much time do you spend outside of the club then if you're like basically living here? Like what else are you doing around in the city for fun? Or?
I mean, like I said, the TV shows took me out of here. So I've been, for fun, I mean... it's not much funner than being in here. So, I mean, for fun, I usually go home and go to sleep. This is about as fun as I'm going to get
right. When
you're in here. I take fun with me out of here
right. Other
places, and then bring it back here. But this is as fun as it's going to get. So, yeah, I pretty much just go out to eat and do normal shit, you know, chill. But I'm not here.
What spots do you like these days?
I go to Big Sky and Buckhead. I go to 30. Italian Groove, I still go to a lot.
Those have been around forever.
Cheetah, I love Cheetah. Cheetah's in this, my second favorite strip club in the world.
How often do you talk to those folks?
Who, on the show?
No, like Cheetah.
Oh, I mean, they're family. Cheetah's family. They've been around just as long as we've been around. So
right.
Same owner. So, we've known them since I was a kid. I've known them.
Right. And, like, I guess they would tell you, like, hey, this girl's coming. Like, don't work with this girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the time. We always got secret contacts. And, you know, we always give each other heads up. Even if it's, like, the inspection people coming by. They're like, oh, they stopped by here. They may come by you.
Right.
Keep an eye out.
I saw some girl posted on social the other day. She's like, hey, I'm trying to work there. But they said you got to have an Atlanta address.
You got to have an Atlanta address to work here. Because
why?
Because we actually put girls on payroll and actually... They get paychecks and W-2s and all that kind of shit. So we would like you to have a stable address here. So we need you here because we schedule girls here. So most clubs, they hire people. You can come in town and work when you want. But here you actually have to be based here.
Even if it was some, I don't know, like a name?
We don't do that. Ain't no name.
I don't even know if it works.
Ain't no name bigger than this name. So
when I was home.
I mean, if it's Rihanna, she can work here. Yeah, I mean, she can come anytime she wants. Cardi B, yeah, but... If it ain't that big, then
so when I was growing up, I was telling her earlier, like these clubs, like I said, white people, we didn't come down here, so it was all Gold Club, and there were like four or five other ones in the burbs that are all gone now, but these women would come like Penthouse Pet of the Week, blah blah, like that was the thing, and then they would come, but this is pre-internet, so like you couldn't exactly. See that stuff before, so it's a whole different world.
It's a whole different world. I mean. Instagram is, I mean, the whole social media, everything has changed the whole dynamic of strip clubs in general. Because, I mean, these girls, they're stripping on the phone, too. So it's like, do you really have to come to the strip club still? So that's why it's like, I can just go on OnlyFans and watch you twerk on my phone and don't even have to come here and spend $100 at the door.
Right.
But here, it's different because it's not just a dance that you get from here. It's a whole experience. Because you get like, it's the best music, the number one songs, the number one artists are going to be here. The food is amazing. It's the top tier one girl. So it's a whole experience than just a dance or like that kind of shit.
Considering the money that's coming in here and celebs that drop in, how much security do you have on any given night?
We got enough security.
Enough is the answer.
Security is the last thing we're worried about. And then when people come here, they don't even, it's not even a vibe or like a vibe where you need security. There's so many women and good times going around. People don't even think about like altercations or anything here. Like I can't tell you the last time we had a fight or anything in here. It's been years. So
when you do have a name that wants to come by, whether it's a musician, actor, athlete, do they usually try to like give you a call, like a heads up, like, hey, I'm coming, make a spot for me?
Most of the top people that come here, they all have our contacts, either me or Magic or my older brother, Lil Magic. So they got all our numbers. So they usually call us directly just because it feels better to them.
Right.
Than like going through like
And then if it's super packed, how do you clear them out a spot?
I usually always just reserve certain spots just in case one of the big people come. So I'll usually always hold a spot like this or other spots just in case. And then at a certain point, if it get like 2:30, 2 o'clock and they haven't called, then I'll just sell it to somebody else. But I always keep a spot open.
Right. What time do you close?
At 3 a.m. sometimes. I mean, it's supposed to be at 3. You know, sometimes it goes a little later.
So you're open 3 to 3?
3 to 3.
That's a long day if you're here all day.
It's a long day. You better not be here all day. You better not be here. I've never done a 3 to 3.
What about the women? What's their usual shift?
You got some soldiers and you got some that don't work. You got some soldiers that do day shift and night shift, but I don't know how they do it. By the end of the night, you can tell they've been here in the daytime.
Right, but if you wanted to like say, okay, I'm going to work 3 days and that's it, do y'all let them do that? Like I'm just going to work 3 10s or 3 12s or you know what I mean?
You could. So every week we have you scheduled three nights that you must work. And every other night you work is on you. So as long as you cover the nights you're supposed to work, you can do whatever else you want after that.
And how many are supposed to be, like Friday night, how many are here, 100?
No, 100 is a legendary night that doesn't happen often. Because you can't keep track of all of them. They go out of town, they travel, they get sick, I got kids, so.
Right.
On an average weekend night, you're going to at least have 70, 65 to 70.
That's still so many, because that's another.
He said that's still so many. In a little spot, it looks like a.
I mean, I'm just turning around and looking. So describe where we are. Which part of the club are we in right now? Paint the picture.
We're in the freak corner right now. This is like where the top, some of your top artists, NBA players, sports players, they all come in here when they want to not be seen, but be here. This right. is like where you come to bring your girl and get a dance and not be seen. This is called the Freak Corner.
Not the champagne.
I don't know why it's called the Freak Corner, but that's what they named it.
Not the champagne room.
Not the champagne room. We don't have champagne rooms. We have Freak Corner and we got the Tequila Corner.
That's the
Tequila Corner down
here. Why is it the Tequila Corner?
Just because we spit a lot of tequila in there. A lot of bottles of tequila fall over there. It's a smaller room. So girls kick the bottles off the table sometimes. So we just call it the tequila room.
Like I said, I'm quite. The first thing I noticed was how small it was. Like, I didn't even notice when she first brought me up. She's like, "Oh, this is the whole club."
Yeah, people always think when they hear Magic City, they think like a 3-story, 2-story club from Vegas. That's like the giant super club. But it's not about the space. It's about people like to be on top of each other. Actually, so like the smaller the club, I feel like the more influence you have, because when you walk in, everybody sees everybody. Nobody wants to, you know, people want to be seen. People come here to be seen. Magic City is a spot where people come to spend the most money they ever thought they was going to spend and to be seen doing it. It's like this, they feel special being seen here. So if people walked in and nobody saw you, then it would be too big. So it's like the smaller the better here.
I assume you would have girls, you know, people you talk about who want to work here. Like, I would guess you have people who probably, like, drive here from wherever and, like, my dream is to work here. I've always wanted to be, right?
Yes. Like I said, the amount of people that I know come here from all across the world. Like, they travel. I had people that come here from Australia that were dying. They only came to Atlanta to come here. They flew from Australia just to be in Magic City. And wow. I know them to this day. It's people that come from all over the world just to say that they went to Magic City. It has that much influence on the world, not just Atlanta.
Right, and here in the freak room, just to further describe it for the listening audience, we have a, I don't know, it looks like some kind of projector happening behind you.
Yeah, this is a projector for us to watch. You know, we watch all the basketball games, all the sports events we watching is here with the girls. And Josh Smith is one of our top customers. He's been coming here since I was a kid, so he has his jersey on the wall here. So he probably calls it the Josh Smith corner if it was him.
Well, that was another question I was going to ask you, is that of all the athletes that roll through, this is the only jersey I think you have up, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's put in work. I mean, he's put in work to get that. I mean, a lot of athletes only come like maybe 3-4 times a year. He put in a lot of work over the years to get that. So did my brother Lou Will down there. You know, Lemon Pepper Lou?
Yeah.
He put in his work down there, too. So they go back and forth on who's got the most time in here.
So that was when? When did that go down?
The Lemon Pepper Lou went down during the quarantine.
Right.
He was in town for a funeral. So I guess the NBA let him leave the bubble for a funeral. And after the funeral, he stopped by here to pick up food for a second, and Jack Harlow walked in the same time he was here, and they took a picture together. Jack Harlow posted it because he wasn't thinking that he wasn't supposed to be out the bubble.
Right.
So he took it down real fast after he posted it, but somebody caught it, and after that, it went viral.
And what were y'all's thoughts when you started hearing nobody talking about it?
I mean, shit, no publicity is bad for a strip club. I mean, all publicity is good for us. I mean, I didn't know how it was going to affect him at first, but it turned out well. I mean, he became Lemon Pepper Lou. I mean, I'm going to say he became Lemon Pepper Lou, and he ran with it. So it wasn't like I thought. I mean, the world loved it, actually.
No, I think they
somebody, did. Yeah, they loved it. Somebody actually was normal. And you know, I mean, he comes here, he eats here every, I mean, when he's in town, he eats here 3 times a week. So for nobody would understand him coming here to get If you don't know.
What wings do you eat when you're here?
I have my own flavor of wings called the Juju Rude Boy wings. Rude Boy wings. So I eat those most of the time. They're a little spicy, so not all the time, but that's probably my go-to.
When people come here for the first time, so people who are listening who are like, I've never been, what would you tell them for their first visit?
Brace yourself, you know, get ready. I mean, when you come in, expect to see the unexpected. Expect to see women flying from pole to pole. Expect to hear the best music you ever heard. Expect the tasty Juju Rude Boy wings. Expect to pay $100 at the door. Expect it all. I mean, expect every expectation you have to come true.
Is there a money? There's got to be a money machine in here.
There's an ATM machine, a money eater, a money feeder. It's money everything here.
I mean,
this is where the magic happens.
And what's the fee on that machine?
It's just 10%.
It's just 10%. Because that's the thing. When I used to go, it's been a long time since I've been to a strip club. Is okay. I'm gonna take out.
$100.
I promised myself I was going to spend this much. Let me take out 100. So that's 110, right?
110.
And then that goes
now
pretty quick.
Like,
and now
fuck.
It's like, okay, well, now I got to take out two.
Now I'm 220.
Right.
Before you know you have 500.
But I love it that I don't even think I ever heard that concept of like, well, let's just keep raising the price. And then when they stop coming, they stop. I mean, I think that's genius. And it's not against the law.
It's not against the
every
law.
Every club should do that, whether it's a strip club or a dance club. Every club should do that.
I'm just trying to tell them they were packed. But if you want to pay that $300 to come in, then I'm not going
to
tell you
and
no.
And somebody is going to want to. And it might even make them feel better about themselves.
They're going to feel better. And then once one person sees it, they're going, wait, I want to be in there. Like, what am I missing? Everybody wants to. Once they say that you're missing out on something, people always want to be like, well, shit, I'll pay $300. And then that makes them feel like, shit, I'm a man now.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm a man, yeah.
It makes them feel good
about it. I paid
$300
to get a magic, and I still spent more money when I got in there. I mean, me and you wouldn't do it, but I like to see other people do it.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure.
I may do it one time, but that's it.
So you said you've got you're close with the Cheetah folks. Is there other clubs like throughout the country that you feel like a kinship with? I mean, I know there's only one Magic, but
I feel a kinship in every strip club. The strip club is the most comfortable environment for me to ever go to. So every state I go to, I just gravitate. I feel most comfortable around dancers than I do any other person on the planet. So I just any state I go to, I Google the closest strip club and I just go and have a drink and just meet all the dancers. It just feels like I'm at home when I go there.
Well, that was going to be my next question: is why you feel most comfortable around those folks?
They raised me since a baby. I've been around dancers and prostitutes and pimps. That's just where I feel most comfortable around those kind of people.
I think that's something that people have an opinion about, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, I'm a one of one too, so it's not for them to understand. But spend a little time with me, hang out with me, then I'll try to show you what I'm talking about. But like, it's hard to explain. I mean, it ain't nothing but just women. I feel better around women. I gravitate towards dancers. I don't know. Who wouldn't? I mean, I don't understand. I mean, what man wouldn't if you could? Everybody can't though, so it's hard to explain. You would have to be born downstairs in Magic City to understand what I'm talking about. And when I say born, I don't mean like actually gave birth. My mom didn't give birth to me downstairs.
I,
but
I know what you mean.
I became a man here, so it's, you know, this is what I always knew.
Kind of like Bane.
Kind of like that.
You're like the strip club Bane.
I'm the strip club Bane. This is not for everybody. It's not for everybody.
What about when you want to get serious?
What do you mean?
If you want to get serious with a woman.
Oh, well, she would have to accept me for this person. And, I mean, I can be serious with a woman. But she just got to let me go. She just has to let me be me, though. You can't change to be with a woman. That's what I feel like most guys do. They change because they feel like they got to change to settle down. It's 2022. I mean, you're either going to take me for me or take somebody else for who you think they are.
Right, and then they're not going to ultimately respect you anyway.
Exactly. So it's like, shit.
But have you been able to have serious relationships? That's kind of
I have. Not for long, but I've had some serious ones. The longest, about 6 months. But that's all I'm looking for.
That's not long.
I'm not looking for none of that. I'm just looking for no platonics.
Do you think you'll ever want to get serious?
Absolutely. I just don't know when that time is going to be. Not 2022. Not 2023, so maybe 2025.
Dude, you never know when it's going to hit you, though.
You never know. Love is stronger than anything I've ever experienced.
I didn't get married till 35, and I'm a big proponent of that.
Okay. Like, well, I always, I still got time.
I always say to people, what's the rush? Like, you got your whole life. I mean, when did I start meeting my wife? Let's see. Hold on. I'm sorry. I can't do math. Anyway, I'm a big proponent of waiting, always. Like, I'm so glad I didn't marry any of the women in my 20s, early 30s. Exactly. Because I got the right one, because we're still together. So,
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. So, I'm a big fan of don't rush it. I was just curious. Like, when you meet someone, they're clearly going to know who you are.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as you meet them, you're going to tell them, this is who I am, this is what I do.
Yeah. As soon as that's the face front of me. So, everybody I meet, they already know who I am for the most part. I don't hide it. I ain't changing. But I do love love. I'm a lover, but I ain't changing.
Do you have folks that come here or meet you somewhere, and then you can tell immediately they want, like, a piece of you? You know what I mean?
Huh?
Like being with him means I'm going to get status, money. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but not really for me so much, because I'm a very humble, down-to-earth person. I don't really show money or do that kind of thing. I treat everybody the same. I'm a fun time. I just like to treat everybody the same. I'm a party, so people come around me to have a good time and feel like they can have a good time and be themselves. I don't really, do all the stunting and the diamonds and the money.
Right.
That ain't me.
I mean, I like the shoes, though.
The shoes are... okay, the shoes are dope. The shoes are dope today.
All right, tell folks what those are that are audio
These
listeners.
Are Jordan 1s, baby blue patent leather, retros, size 11 for the ladies.
I'm also a size 11.
Oh, shit.
Does that, so are you like a Jordan, are you a sneakerhead? Is that a big thing for you?
I am not a sneakerhead, but I do have a lot of pieces, but it don't matter to me. Like, I like to get my shoes dirty.
Because you're working a club.
I like to wear dirty shoes,
Well, those are pretty clean, I would say.
I just got these like 2 days ago.
Where do you shop for your shoes?
I shop at Wish and Little 5 Points. I shop online for most of my shoes on StockX, though.
All right, cool. I got a few more questions for you, but I want to set this camera up and do it real quick. Is that cool? All right, let me hit pause real quick. All right, first question. These are the Atlanta Favorites Quiz. There are no wrong answers.
Gotcha.
Okay. What is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
The sampler. Whatever the sampler with the potatoes and the hash brown smothered and all that kind of shit.
The All-Star Special?
There we go. The All-Star Special. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since I've been to Waffle House.
Very common answer. All right. What is your current favorite place to eat in Atlanta if it wasn't here?
Cheetah. Club Cheetah.
Rank these in importance to you. Braves, Falcons, Hawks, United.
Hawks, United, Braves, Falcons.
Okay, I'm surprised. You're a big soccer fan?
So when they won the MLS Cup, they brought the trophy here, and they had the trophy on stage, and the whole team came here. So since then, they've been second after the Hawks.
All right. Complete the sentence. I take Marta blank.
I've never rolled Marta. I've never rolled Marta. This is the Marta station that I don't even know how to get there. It's Kroger? Across the street, though.
It is across the street.
Kroger or Publix?
Publix.
Why is that?
Publix got better food. Kroger's quality is some shit. Don't order no meat from Kroger. Don't get no meat from Kroger. My mama taught me that as a kid.
What is the best festival in Atlanta? Your favorite festival in Atlanta?
I don't know. Do we have festivals? What festival do we have in Atlanta?
Clearly, you're spending too much time.
Wait, like a Piedmont Park festival?
Some people pick a food festival. Some people pick a music festival.
Like a Dogwood festival.
Some people go to the Dogwood festival.
That's not the Dogwood festival. I know about that one.
Why don't you like that one?
I never understood it. Is it dogwood, like a tree?
It's a tree.
Art tree. Nah. The Shroom Festival. They got a Shroom Festival here, right?
Right.
I don't know. I've never been to a festival.
What's the best concert you've seen in Atlanta?
The Weeknd.
Which venue and where?
It was at State Farm Arena. At State Farm Arena. The Weeknd was my favorite one. I'm sure there's been doper ones. Like, I've been to the Outkast concert. That was dope. But The Weeknd was my favorite concert at State Farm Arena.
All right, this is a side note question. Do you follow professional wrestling at all by chance?
I know Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No, that's it. That's fine. Okay. All right. Some people went to it, some people went. Okay, the final question is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Magic, my dad.
He said he won't do it, though.
But that's what I would try to get. I mean, he's got the most dope content.
Listen, I would love to talk to him. He said he won't do it.
I said he'll do it for me.
Would he?
Yeah, he would
sit down with me for a few minutes?
Possibly.
Okay.
Not today, though. But
no, I wouldn't ask for today.
Yeah, not today.
All right, let's get a second answer just in case.
Like a celebrity or anybody? Just
any, could be a friend of yours, anybody.
Parker Littman. He's on Buckhead Shore with me. Parker. Good Parker.
Right. Let's make that happen.
Let's make that happen.
All right. Where can people find you on social?
You can follow me on Instagram at Juju's World 1, Twitter at Magic City's Juju, or you can just call me at 404.
Did you seriously just give out your number? I'll bleep it out if you want.
No, you didn't call me. I got a couple phones.
You know, I think one thing that he said that I think people wouldn't understand is he said, I'm most comfortable around strippers. Like when I said, what do you do when you're out of town? Or where do you go? He's like, "That's I just go to strip club because like, that's who raised me." You know what I mean? And I think that's just a, that could be a very like misunderstood thing, right?
To which part?
Well, I mean, if somebody says like, oh, I grew up in the strip club or I only feel comfortable around strippers, you know what I mean?
Well, I think it's just a, I think it only makes sense. People always go back to what they're familiar with and where they're comfortable. So I know for myself, there are times I'm in a regular club in any city and it's a regular club. Nobody's throwing money and nobody is naked. And I'm like, well, what do we do here?
Like, what do you do for fun?
Like, well, yeah, we just stand around. And honestly, it's interesting because when you go to regular clubs, everyone has their phone in their hand and they're just, like, looking down.
Right.
So there is no interaction. So it's kind of bland and boring.
Right.
To me, that makes sense. I mean, if you were raised around, I don't know, a football family.
Right.
You're going to be most familiar and comfortable around football players or on a field or...
Right.
So that makes sense to me.
What were you doing in the world before you got here? Because you said you moved here from
the
city
I was in college. Yeah, I was in college. I was a biology major. Mm-hmm. This was not... I had never even walked into a strip club. Not even ever.
And so how did this happen for you?
It was a fluke. It's like a friend of a friend knew someone. And when you come to Atlanta... Everyone talks about Magic City, and what they don't say is Magic City dot 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 the strip club or Magic City dot 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 the you know gentlemen's club. We find that a lot now, even with the kitchen. People hear about the wings and the food, and they come, and they're like, "Wait, whoa! I didn't realize. Like, I knew it was in a club, but I didn't realize it was like a strip club."
Right? Do people use the term gentlemen's club anymore?
No, I do see it. I think on maps and like when you type it into Google search,
right.
It says gentleman's club.
Right. So a friend of a friend of yours said,
"Hey, you got to go check this spot out. I have a friend that works there. I have a friend that knows." And I was like, okay. And then one of my friends and I were bored and we came out one night and literally we're thinking it's a regular club. We're new to Atlanta. Back then, this was when Buckhead was like super popping. You could just walk down this, you know, Buckhead Street, and you go to five different clubs, and
right.
It's all fun. So we're like, okay, let's go, you know, explore the city. And we walked in, and we were like, okay, this is different. And then, honestly, it was just kind of a fluke because they were hiring waitresses, and there was a lot going on. They were, like, getting rid of a lot of current staff, and they were switching. There was a lot. And so it was really about being at the right place at the right time.
But then how do you go from waitress to...
So somebody was like, do you want to start waitressing? And I'm like, no, I have no interest. No interest. And long story short, the person that was the door girl at the time, needed, like, it was Diddy weekend, and she needed someone to cover for her. And so the whole thing was like, you don't even have to walk in the club. You're going to sit at the door, collect the money. It's easy peasy. And I was super nervous about it. And like, I have no interest, but it was over a weekend. And my my girlfriend that was with me was like, you should do it. You should just go. It's one weekend. And I came home and I think I had made $400 in tips.
Right.
And at the time I was working at a mortgage company, and that was barely my whole week's pay.
Right.
And so when I get home, I'm like, and she's asking me, what did you have to do for this? And I was like, literally collect admission.
You hadn't even waited tables at that point.
I've never waited tables. That's all I ever did, was sit at the door.
So do you feel a personal connection with Diddy? Because if not for him, that wouldn't have...
Interesting. Yeah, probably. Probably. It was just an interesting time how things happened. But back then, things had to organically happen. There was no social media. And these were highly sought after spots. Like even getting a waitressing gig here, and to this day, is still like, you have to know someone
right.
to get in good.
Well, I was saying, I noticed there was, because I was looking at him and I started following you and stuff going on, like some woman posted like, oh, hey, I'm trying to try out for this club. And they're like, well, you don't live here, so we can't have you.
Right. That's right. There's a whole culture with strip clubs. And a lot of times the rules that apply with other clubs, we don't apply to us. Like the girls that work at Magic can only work at Magic. At a point, and it may still be the case, I don't know, you could work at like five of the clubs in Atlanta. So if Monday was your hot night, all the girls would be at Magic working on. If Tuesday was, you know, Escapades night, all the girls would be at Escapades. But we never did that. You were exclusive to Magic.
So you can only work here?
Correct.
And if you find out, they're gone?
Correct.
And you always find out?
Correct. It's a dog-eat-dog world, so a lot of times the girls will tell on each other.
Well, of course.
So they're like, get her out of here. Yeah. I mean, it's not always like that. We've been here a long time. People know people. And with social media, people right. post things.
So if you just moved here mm-hmm. and says, I just moved here, how do you work around that? If somebody like, I moved here to work at Magic City.
That's different. So also the other part of it is, again, strip club culture, everybody knows you have to have a permit to work here.
Okay.
And you have to get it through the city.
It's like a liquor license.
Correct. And so that costs like around $300, and it has to get renewed every year. So the city will run a background check on you.
Oh, that's nice for you.
Yeah. A background check on you. And then you have to have probably, they have all your information. You know what I mean? So you live in Atlanta now. If you pay $300, you're probably going to come to work.
Right.
Yeah.
How much is the turnover, though? Like, if you have 100 women working here at any one time.
We probably have 200 women here working at any given time. And it is hard to get women to leave.
To leave?
Yeah. It gets uncomfortable because people kind of get a little bit older and...
You are killing me. You are killing me. So Blondie can't work here. Look at you trying to be political.
I'm like, well,
no, listen, I
get. Yeah, but it is interesting because you don't. And the number one thing I think we hear is like, so when you renew your permit every year,
right.
you have to authorize that.
Okay.
So basically, that's giving you another year. It's like kind of a contract.
Right.
So when you come in, you know, for that next year, and it's kind of time for you to tap out.
Right.
The number one thing we hear is like, I just need one more year.
Of course.
My business off the ground.
Right.
Not something else in the works.
Of course.
And then that happens again.
But you've got to, you and others who are, you know, in management, like you've got to have relationships, like tight relationships with these people if they're here year after year after year.
Oh, it is the most uncomfortable part of the business is because you get to know these people on a very intimate level, you know, and then it's like, we know whose kid graduated and
right.
whose father passed away. And we have to tell you like, all right, it's time to go. And that sucks.
So are you always looking for people though? Like you always open to whoever, you just sometimes you don't even interview people.
Yeah, no, we're always open. There's a wait list.
Right.
And you come in and you audition and then we will see and speak to any and everybody. There's no, like, kind of person that we're just going to smack the door in their face type of thing.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, we've never, knock on wood, had to go like put out open auditions or anything like
right.
that.
Right. But it is, for a lot of people, it is a bridge to something else. Like, I'm going to put myself through school or whatever. So that's kind of what I meant in terms of like the turnaround or like,
oh, like how,
like some people
there,
like
there, we have some big success stories. I know waitresses that are lawyers. I know there are times still, because we've been around since 85, you'll have older women come in and be like super successful, very professional. And they're like, oh, I used to work here.
Wow.
And we're like, wow, really?
And yeah. I noticed you do use the term stripper. When I was growing up, it was dancer. Like, you didn't even say stripper because the connotation was so bad.
Yeah. It's interesting because, like I said, over the past decade or so, we used to say entertainer, dancer, and now people are like, huh, dancer? What you mean? Like a stripper? Like, yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, like a stripper.
Right.
So it's kind of like the best way to describe it. When you say dancer now, I think people think you mean like
Broadway?
Yeah. Ballet.
Well,
yeah.
You know, you are an institution, as it were, and we talked earlier, like, COVID for you guys was like, still rocking after you closed for a little bit or whatever, but is there busier seasons? I mean, obviously, like, Tuesday is slower than Saturday, but like, do you have busier seasons?
Everything, I will say this, has changed since the pandemic. We used to be able to, we would know the ebb and flow of everything. We would almost have it down to the week. Like, okay, so this week we're going to slow down for the next 4 weeks. And
colder weather, hotter weather?
It depends. Like, you have things such as, the obvious ones are tax return season.
So people are filing their taxes, so they think I should save money now?
No, the opposite.
Oh, they got the refund.
And they're coming in.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So that's what, it gets busy like around February.
How about that PPP money?
I don't know anything about that PPP money. I cannot. I don't know. Our market does not get their PPP loans.
So, I would assume big weekends. You know, we have big college games. Obviously, the Super Bowl was here. I mean, does it get like just
bananas, like
nutty?
Bananas. It gets bananas. So the way we make our reservations is we don't charge for the section like other clubs do. So you don't have to pay $10,000 to hold the section. What you do have to do is go in. We have a bottle requirement and admission charge.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
And Magic has always wanted it that way because he wants the club to be accessible to everybody.
Right.
So sometimes we go in to make our reservation and we'll be like, damn, what the hell's going on the week of da-da-da, because all our stuff is booked up,
right,
and it will be Chick-fil-A bowl or whatever.
Right, that's about to happen, by the way.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, that's right, this game, or you always knew when the Lakers were in town, or New Orleans playing the Falcons. You kind of always would know.
Right.
Yep.
I assume when we're doing well in sports, it's good for y'all.
It's amazing for us. Yeah, we love our Braves. We love our Hawks, Falcons, and the Dream.
Yeah, yeah.
Female basketball team.
Yeah, yeah.
So all of them, they always
break. Well, the United came in here, obviously. And
oh, yeah. Even on United game nights.
But see, here's the thing. Like, we talked about it, obviously, Ju and I. Like, the fact that they came in here, like, that would not have happened when I was a kid. No 100%. Club would be allowed.
100%.
It would have been a freaking scandal. Like, oh my
100%.
God, the cup was in the strip club.
100%.
And now that's like celebrated.
Well, here's the truth. It would have happened, but nobody would have found out about it.
Because there wasn't social media.
And everybody would have known.
Like, keep your mouth shut.
Shut your mouth. Nobody saw it. That
right.
never happened.
But when you're these big weekends, okay, and celebrity like A is here and like this room is all booked, whatever, and then like celebrity B shows up like an hour later, like, how do you make room for folks when it's so busy?
That is the coolest. That's the magic in it all. Everybody gets along. Everybody is really chill. Like, they are really, really chill. So a lot of times, because everybody knows everybody within the club, we'll make the connection. So we'll be like, oh, Matt, you might have had the whole section. And what's your alma mater?
My school?
Yeah.
The School of Hard Knocks.
Perfect. So we'll be like, literally, we'll be like, oh, you know, Matt's from the West End. And, right. you know, John just came in. I know they must have known each other, or right. their brothers might have known each other. Let me see. And then I'll come to you and say, hey, Matt, John is here. Do you mind if he get? And you're like, no, John, yeah, John, come on right. up. That's literally how it works.
Right.
So we have to kind of make the connection, and just everybody gets along just fine.
Right. Where did you go to school?
St. Bonaventure.
Okay. Did you say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Early, not here.
And where is it?
It's in Western New York.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And you wanted to be what?
Independent. I don't know. I think back now, like, how did this all play out the way it did? But that was just being at the right place at the right time. Who knows what I would have been doing? I don't know.
But I feel like that's some of the best, isn't that some of the best things in life? You mean?
For sure. Like, now when I talk to kids that are younger or people that have their life planned out, I just think to myself, wow, I'm glad I didn't have that. I don't know if I would have been disappointed, but also, like, I just think to myself, oh my God, like, you're taking all the fun out of it, because there's things that happen, like, you know, in that serendipity type of way. And then you look back and go, wow, that dot connected to that one. And
right.
here we are.
Well, so when I grew up, it wasn't cool to be an entrepreneur or a college dropout. Now it's kind of everybody's thing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just fortunate that, like, it took me a while to figure it out, but I just figured out, like, oh yeah, I can't really work for anybody. I kind of got to do my, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And now you're the cool kid. Now everybody, you were the trendsetter without knowing it.
Right. And that's what's so ironic, is that I remember all the years we were, quote unquote, in college, and for the 5 years after,
yeah.
I would be afraid. What you just said, where'd you go to school? I was terrified
of that question.
Right. Because I'd be like, oh, I didn't really finish. And now it's like, my, I have friends who were like, well, I guess you figured it out. And it's like, again, right. it's not that I figured it out. That's I just don't right. know any other way but to plow forward.
That's right. Yeah, and I think that's really cool. And there's something about that, like, when you come to a club, I hope it's the case with any club.
Right.
When you come to Magic, you don't have to worry about all of that. Like, you don't, listen, I don't know if you're ever telling the truth when you're in here. Like, if someone asks you if you're married or not, you could say whatever you want. We don't know, and we don't care. We're just, like, you know, we're creating a vibe. Eating the wings, dancing to the music, having a drink. It's chill.
Right.
So that, I think, is, like, the allure of it all.
Right. Well, we talked a little bit about the music stuff, mm-hmm. and you have had, like, songs come right out of here.
100%.
Right?
Yes. Yes. I think way before, like, Juju and I were even probably born, there were, what is that? Whoop, There It Is, I think.
That started here?
Yeah. One of the DJs from here made the beat, and, like, but more often than not, the song breaks here. So a producer will come in, like, they'll leave the studio.
Right.
Come in here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either to be inspired and, like, relax and chill out so they can go back to the studio.
Right.
Or they'll come in with something that they just created, and they give the MP3 or whatever it is to the DJ. And they want to know how the crowd is going to react to it.
Right.
So they'll have them play it. And if people spend money and, like, the crowd keeps kind of, like, vibing out, then they know we're on to something.
Right. He said if the girls are into it, everybody's into it.
Everybody's into it.
Right.
Yep.
Well, listen, I appreciate you doing this. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I do like to ask people their Atlanta favorites.
Okay.
So these are the Atlanta favorites quiz. There are no wrong answers.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
What is your go-to order at the Waffle House?
I eat at Magic City Kitchen. I don't go to the Waffle House.
Okay. What do you eat at the Magic City Kitchen?
Lou Will lemon pepper wings, all flats, and also the lamb chops.
All flats?
All flats. And always fried okra. That's my side.
Okay.
Yeah.
No matter what, you don't ever get sick of that?
No. Fried okra, always.
No, the whole thing, the whole order.
No.
Lunch and dinner?
Yeah, I could do that, yeah.
Okay.
There have been times I've had it for breakfast, too, because you go home and then...
That's what you got.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. Rank these in importance to you.
Okay.
Braves, Falcons, Hawks, United.
Hawks. It kills me to not say it, but I would say the Falcons.
Okay.
But I've been a little disappointed.
We all have.
Okay. Hawks, United.
Okay.
Falcons, Braves.
Okay.
United and Falcons can be interchanged. They're like two A and B.
Okay. Kroger or Publix?
Publix.
Well, I didn't even finish saying
that's
the sentence.
Silly. Yeah, that's silly. Publix. silly.
No one has ever, he answered the same way.
Okay.
But it sounds like that's what his mom taught him. And okay. That's, there's a whole thing there. But I love, you're the first person I didn't even finish saying it.
Like, knock it off.
Okay. Publix, yeah. All right.
It should be like Trader Joe's or Publix. Or Trader Joe's or Whole Foods.
Some people don't even know what that is. We moved here from California. My wife, when we first moved to Georgia, we were out in freaking Powder Springs. There was no Trader Joe's. There was like Walmart. So it's like some people don't even know Trader.
Oh, you know what? Walmart might be a good one. Like it should be Kroger, Walmart, Publix, or Sprouts or Fresh Market.
But I feel like Kroger, Publix are like two like Atlanta brands or at least South brands that people can identify with.
That's true.
All right. Finish this sentence. Okay. I take Marta blank.
To Falcon games. Before it was the Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
When it was the Georgia Dome.
Right.
The MARTA would run right under there.
Right. Juju has never been on a MARTA, he said.
That's interesting.
Right.
There's one right across the street.
I know. It's hilarious.
I'm also not surprised.
No, me either. Most people, when I ask people, I take MARTA, they usually say either the airport or to Braves or Falcons games, right?
Yep.
And now they can't do it for the Braves game anymore.
Right.
That's why a lot of people in Atlanta, they put Braves last. And Braves used to be everybody's number one.
That's interesting.
They took it personally.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like everyone in Atlanta understood you're no longer in Atlanta when you're in Cobb.
Right.
So.
Okay, last couple questions. Do you have a favorite festival in Atlanta? Do you ever leave here, essentially?
I love the music festival. So when Music Midtown is here, that's really fun.
Okay. What's the best concert you've seen in Atlanta?
Oh, my gosh. I try not to miss a concert. So if it's like Billie Eilish, if it's Little Baby, I'm not missing it. Okay. Little Baby's my favorite.
Okay. And the last question is, who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Okay. Let me think. You've had Lou Will? Have you had Lou Williams?
No.
Oh, Lou Williams.
Well, can you make that happen?
I think we might have his contact. Well, I'm sure he'll be calling in an order any minute. We can get you on the phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he said his dad. I'm like, but he said, his dad never does stuff. And I was like.
Yeah, no, Lou Williams, Josh Smith is a good one. I mean, obviously their jerseys are up.
Right, but they're the only ones. And I was saying, for as many people as have come here, that's an honor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They are our hometown heroes, and they have never, ever, like, not come to Magic. These guys have been coming here since, like, before they were old enough to be in here.
And now you know the rest of the story, as the saying goes. Thank you so, so much for listening. We've got some great, great episodes coming up. I've been cranking away on a bunch of these, so I look forward to bringing them to you. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, tell a friend. Tell a friend about the Atlanta podcast, all the great guests we have here. We go back all the way to 2017. So if you scroll through, I'm sure you will find some more folks that you like or will like. I promise you that. Thanks again. Love you. Miss you. Mean it. I have got to run.